Thursday is the day we read from your email.
And we've received quite a bit of praise for our colleague Melissa Block and her stories about medical students and the cadavers they've been dissecting over the past year. This week we heard about the end of their work and a memorial service for the men and women who donated their bodies for them to study.
Thank you, writes David Dixon of Evansville, Indiana. 13 months ago, my 57-year-old brother died of Lou Gehrig's disease. Several years prior to his diagnosis, he and his wife made the decision to donate their bodies to the university near their home. At the time, I don't think anyone in the family thought a great deal about their decision, but it was theirs to make. He continues, listening to the young medical students in your story talk about their opportunities to learn from their cadavers and them telling them goodbye convinced me that they indeed made the right choice. During his lifetime, my brother was a coach, mentor, and counselor for many young people. Apparently, he still is.
Elizabeth Jardine of Port Angeles, Washington, was struck by one part of the story in particular, a student's comments about her cadaver's toenails. She noticed they were very long, and that led her to help an elderly neighbor by trimming her toenails.
That was the most truthful thing I've ever heard about medicine, writes Jardine. I sure wish more doctors would learn that lesson. What's the good of all those high-powered, sophisticated medicines when a patient can't get her toenails cut or receive a simple, loving touch? This is where the contemporary American medical system utterly fails.
A number of listeners wrote in, unhappy with our coverage of the BTK serial killer. Our story included some graphic and disturbing tape. It came from the court hearing where Dennis Rader pleaded guilty to 10 counts of murder. David Williams of Collegeville, Pennsylvania writes this, to play the audio of a mentally disturbed, cold-blooded killer as he coolly and casually described how he selected and killed his victims was ridiculous. It served no journalistic purpose and was an offense to individuals he killed and their families and friends.
On to praise for a This I Believe segment by former House Speaker Newt Gingrich.
Danusha Gazka of Paterson, New Jersey, writes this.
I am a lifelong leftist and feminist. I regard Newt Gingrich as a member of the enemy camp. I stopped what I was doing when I heard that he would be delivering a This I Believe commentary that he had extemporized without a script. Newt Gingrich's essay was the very best This I Believe I've heard so far. It was cogent, aesthetically pleasing, and profound. I was stunned and genuinely moved by Gingrich's essay and my own reaction to it. Thank you for giving me this chance to encounter another facet to a member of what I regard as the enemy camp.
Our segment with movie sound designer Randy Tom generated several emails. We asked listeners to submit interesting sounds that Tom could use in films, and we gave out a phone number to call with entries. Well, many of you have, but the request rubbed some listeners the wrong way.
Susan Dawes of Los Angeles sent this comment. While I admire Randy Tom's Tom Sawyer-esque ingenuity in asking NPR listeners to give him some interesting sounds, as a film sound professional, I'd like to point out that he is asking people to do his own work for him. Sound effects libraries are actually valuable commodities, so Mr. Tom should be paying your listeners, or NPR should make them all available for everyone. And if not, I have a fence that maybe your listeners would like to come and paint for me.
We'd love to hear from you. Send your comments to atc@npr.org. Please tell us where you live and how to pronounce your name.